My name is Laura. I'm a housewife from North London who never expected to find herself in such a situation as I found myself a couple of weeks ago. Although I've been twice before to Gaza with the intention of breaking the blockade and reached there successfully, I never imagined that I'd witness scenes that I saw 2 weeks ago. As it happened, a few days before we left for to travel to Istanbul, Brother Tawkir called me and asked me if I was interested in taking a first aid course. At that time I was really, really busy collecting donations and running around, so I wasn't really sure, but at the last minute I found myself with a few hours and I went to Leighton Mosque where we did 6 hours intensive first aid training. The instructor that trained us said that this was his donation to the people of Gaza, that we could take our skills and teach them to the people there, so that perhaps a life could be saved. We did the training, the basic first aid training, and I did say to him, you know, in Gaza we're dealing with really different situation. We really need to know how to deal with bullet wounds and more extreme first aid. So he actually talked me through how to deal with bullet wounds and excessive bleeding and this situation. Little did I know that I would be faced with it very soon. On the evening before the attack took place, we knew that we were surrounded by the Israeli ships, and we just sat and read Quran or tried to rest. The next morning we had the azan, the call to prayer, and then everything, all hell broke loose on the ship. I was downstairs with the women in the women's quarters. Somebody came running down, does anybody have any medical or first aid skills? So I thought I do, so I went running upstairs, but I couldn't have been prepared at all for the scene. The floor was covered in blood. We had three men on the floor who the doctors were trying to resuscitate, unfortunately unsuccessfully. And then we must have had more than 20 other men lying on the benches in the ship with, some of them had three or four bullet wounds. We weren't prepared for this at all. Nobody had expected such a vicious attack. We had what medicines we had, what bandages we had were just heaped on the floor, and we were literally running from one person to the next trying to stop the bleeding on the wounds. So this was my experience. I was so busy tending to the wounded, I didn't actually notice that the cabin I was in had been evacuated. Somehow, I became aware that somebody was talking to me as I was with one of the wounded, and I looked around, and at the far corner I saw three Israeli soldiers pointing their guns at me, and they said, we are going to shoot you if you don't come. I think they'd probably spoken to me and I hadn't heard them. So I said, I can't leave these people, they're seriously wounded. And they said, you have to come now or we're going to shoot you. And don't worry, we have a doctor with us. So I walked towards them and was searched and handcuffed and taken on the deck. Later they brought three of the wounded people. They were beside me on the benches. I asked them to take one of them to hospital because he was severely shot, and they wouldn't. And we put two drips into this man. And they actually took the drips out themselves. Their doctor took the drips out of this man and insisted on putting his own drip in, which didn't work. I kept saying to him, this is not working. And they eventually they just took it out and said, oh, he doesn't need it. The other rather cruel things they did with the wounded, apart from keeping them handcuffed, was again, they didn't allow them to go to the toilet. That was it, really. You've heard all the story of the arrogance and the way that they dealt with us to the rest of the day until we reached Ashdod. I have quite a few memories of this. In fact, the lady who was widowed, the Turkish lady who was widowed there, she was so strong that I took my inspiration from her. I thought, well, if she can be so strong and so calm and not cry, then I can't cry either. Some of the things that I find disturbing now, more than the scenes of blood and the massacre itself, are I happen to live in the Finchley area, and sometimes when I was looking at the soldiers on the boat pointing their guns at me, I was thinking, do any of you have dual passports? Do any of you live just down the road from me? And that's, I think we need to know that. We're British passport holders in the IDF, pointing guns at British citizens. And don't forget, and not to forget that also from North London, we have one brother who's still not returned yet, from Israel, who was shot by the soldiers. So we have a British citizen who was shot, he's still alive, he's okay, he's coming back, inshallah. But really, this is the one thought that I have on my mind, you know, when I pass people in the street. Perhaps these men were part of Operation Cast Lead, or perhaps they were on that ship. Who are these people? Because they all cover their faces, they hide their identity. So we don't know who they are. I think we should demand of our government that British citizens shouldn't be allowed to go overseas and fight in the IDF. The fact that British passport holders probably took part in Operation Cast Lead, surely it makes them party to war crimes, which should be investigated. So that's one avenue that I wish that we could look at. The other is, of course, what I've said on TV every time I've been interviewed is that I blame the British government and the American government. I don't consider Israel, it's so far lost its moral compass. I don't think it even knows right and wrong anymore. It's just completely off the scale of madness. As Norman Finkelstein described it, as a lunatic state. I believe then that the responsibility lies fair and square with the British and American and other European governments for never having said no to Israel, for never having found the courage to condemn Israel's actions, and for never having taken any action against them to stop them acting with complete impunity wherever they wish to kill civilians. They've never been brought to task for it. So this is what I hope we can do now that we have so much support behind us, inshallah. Okay, thank you very much.